as we look at campaign in particular moving forward for the 115th District, define the issue that you think Illinois has to deal with. And not just the fact that we're messed up money-wise. I mean, if you get to cherry-pick the issue that must be dealt with, in your opinion, what is it?
It has to be pensions. And I think we've started to take some steps in the right direction for that. The conversation keeps coming up. People in a panic over it. It's causing us problems with our credit rating and so on. And I think the approach in the past has been to try to solve it all with one fell swoop. I think what we're finding now is that taking bites at it might be all we can do at this point because of our constitutional requirement that you not touch someone's pension who's already in the system or who has already retired.
And it's interesting when you talk about this as the pension is the got to deal with thing, because it's been looming over us and had, well, like I said, ramifications, a lot of ramifications for a very long time. And then you look tonight about the Jackson County Board, taking a vote tonight on a 1% across the board statewide property tax to deal with the pensions that might take 30 to 50 years to deal with. But that gives you an idea, because 1% across the board today, by the way, as we look at the other issue, and that's the bill backlog, $6,827,614,000 and $943.60 as of this morning at, I believe, 8. This is another one. When it came to the budget, the people, including the governor, said he wished more money from this year's budget would have been gone to address the bill backlog.
Well, first of all, remember when I got in office, the bill backlog was somewhere around $9 billion. In the last few years, it went up to $16.5 billion. So to have it now, it sounds weird to say we're down to $6 to $7 billion. But the fact is we took a pretty good $9 billion chunk out of our backlog.
With a loan.
Part of it was a loan.
Right.
Part of it has been that we got some better, we're getting some, we've stopped spending money the way we were. So many, many votes that I took were to say no to someone who wanted to expand a program or to start a new program.
Can you give me an example?
There were multiple examples in the Chicago area where expansion of a neighborhood program or some kind of social service program in the Chicago area was stopped. There's a real need to continue to stop that type of expansion and creating new programs. You know, one issue that we have right now, it'll be a very sensitive issue, but in the expansion of taxpayer funding abortions, that was the wrong direction to go. And we're seeing now that that is increasing, and we're going to have to address that at some point.
Property tax is something that I know you hear a lot about, whether you're knocking on doors or you're taking phone calls or letters come into your office or emails, property taxes. We alluded, of course, to the property tax increase, taking a stand against it on a constitutional level.
Sure.
When it comes to this Jackson County Board vote tonight. But property taxes, it's interesting. I was talking to a young woman in Heron. She's been living there. And I said, so talk to me about your property taxes. I've gotten a letter saying my taxes have gone up every one of the 13 years I've lived in this home.
Yeah, I believe that's probably right. If you look at your tax bill, it's primarily local taxes, in particular school funding. And the state has not in the past done a very good job of funding local schools. So their only ability then was to raise your local property taxes. So at this point, we just passed a new school funding formula where the state of Illinois is going to begin to pay what they should be paying on for local schools, which should allow locals to start reducing that property tax. So at this point, I would say a property tax freeze is probably in order. I was a little bit hesitant to do that over the last couple of years because I said I first wanted to make sure that school funding was taken care of. We now have that school funding formula in place, and a property tax freeze is probably in order.
You know, you and I have both been around long enough to remember the chant, and I actually did an interview with it with the business director for IDES, Business Services Director John Odie, yesterday. You and I are used to the dance. We need jobs. We need jobs. Mm-hmm. We have jobs. We don't have people now. It's kind of hard to make that dance tune has changed dramatically in this state. And with the numbers he was sharing yesterday, the thousands of jobs that are just within a 50-mile radius of the center of southern Illinois without leaving the state, where you can get started $13, $14, $15 an hour.
Yeah, Ison is an excellent example. You know, they're pretty much always hiring.
Granite City?
Granite City. You could go, if you go up into the Washington County area right as you come off of 64, if you look to your right going south, there's all these warehouses there. There's 500 jobs in there. The guys that run that the service there for employment tell me that they could hire 500 people on any given day. And the problem is that we just don't have, we have such a distance to travel sometimes for jobs that that it's difficult for people to get there. So, yeah, we have the jobs here. You know, another example would be in the Mount Vernon area. Menards just tried to hire enough people to get open. They couldn't get enough people to pass the drug tests. And that's we're going to have to make sure that we have funding for social service organizations here so we can deal with our opioid crisis as well as some of the other drugs of choice in this area.
What do you think the ramifications are of Janus versus AskMe now that the smoke has cleared somewhat? What are your thoughts here when it comes to state of Illinois going forward? Because very often I ask that question and people say, well, that's going to stop people from collective bargaining. Well, that's not the way I read it, but it will alter campaign finance, state of Illinois. I was wondering what your takeaway was.
Well, I think the labor's going to have to work a little bit harder to get people to actually pay full share, since there isn't a fair share any longer. It won't be required. As you know, I was a union steward for both AFSCME and for laborers. I always encouraged people, even back when, you know, when fair share was allowed, encourage them to be full share members, because you get a voice then in your own labor union. So I think as people go forward, they're going to want to have a voice with their employer.
So you think they'll opt in then?
I think that they will. The places that are union shops, they're going to find now the labor organization is going to have to work a little bit harder because the money won't be coming in automatically. But certainly, you know, the Supreme Court was very clear that a person has a right to not pay if they don't want to. I joined in a they call it an amicus brief to basically encourage the Supreme Court to continue to do fair share. Should it have been 88%? Probably not. It probably should have been lower. But I do think that people should pay a little bit of something if a labor union is representing them, whether that be the union be able to charge them later or whatever.
Before I let you go today, what have you learned exclusively as a result of your time in the House that you can use in your next period if you're reelected that will make you a better legislator?
That's a tough question, Tom. I think probably making sure that we are constantly out listening to people. So I think I did it initially because it was just a natural thing for me to do. You're at Walmart, you're at Kroger's, whatever, you're out knocking on doors. But I've learned that it is a vital part of what we do as a legislator. So I may have in my mind what I think is the right thing to do, but I'm there to represent the people of the 115th District, so I have to be listening at all times the things that they say. So I've elected to continue to keep two offices open in the district to make sure that we can be close at hand whenever people have needs, and we're going to continue to do that.
What emotion do you most often see displayed in the constituents you talk to?
It's frustration about the tax rates in Illinois. Yeah. And again, it goes back to the irresponsible spending that this state has been a part of.
I expect you to say PO'd. I mean, the people I talk to, it's interesting because I'm a voice person, so I don't always watch, but I'm always listening very closely. And I do a lot of talking to people on the phones, and I hear their voice pitch up as they get more and more. And it's not frustrated. It's mad.
Oh, sure.
They are really mad. And I got a note yesterday from a guy who listens every morning. He left the state of Illinois yesterday. He says, one of the only things I'm missing when I leave the state of Illinois is your show, because I'm happy to be gone. You and I, this is our home, and we hate hearing that about our home, and it was his home too, and he had to leave it.
Well, I've left twice, once early in my life to go to high school in South Florida, marked off a calendar for every day till I could get back here. My husband and I moved to Oklahoma in the early 80s when inflation was double digits and interest rates were double digits. We had to quit farming and then were able to come back. So every day we were gone, it was to come back. So I would say to those folks that are leaving, remember that this is one of the greatest places in the country that you can live. We just have to be responsible with what we're doing with taxpayer money. But remember that everything that we do costs money. So as people continue to say, I want my taxes reduced, remember that often that goes with some of our programs and services being reduced as well.